The topic I'd like to speak about is labeled and titled Cookie Cutters or a Three Ring Circus. I guess I'm trying to address two sort of contradictory intuitive feelings that we have when dealing with how much the individual needs to be similar to, adopt the mores of the tzibur as a whole. I guess something that comes to mind is one of the a recording came out many years ago. I think it was called Variations or Journeys, and what it had was all sorts of English songs adapted to Yiddish themes. And one of them, I don't remember the name, and certainly don't remember who was the one that played or sang, was about this wonderful minyan that had one Chassidish Ingerman, one Yeki, one YU person, one Taimani, one Sfaradi, etc., etc., etc. Very, very sweet song. I'm sure everybody kind of identified with the message and would love their children to hear it and to get the message. I assume nobody would want to daven that shul, except maybe to take a picture or something. But we would feel it's kind of not our cup of tea, with all admiration. And we try to get a sense of what exactly is the Torah Shkaf of it. So, let's examine some Mekoros that seem to indicate that the need for a community, a tzibur, to conform. The first one is actually a din d'oraisa. It's called lotus godedu. Lotas or agudos agudos. It means that when you have a community and the community has a psak halacha. In other words, the word minhag, and this is something important to emphasize, when we're talking about strict halacha, the dinim that are relevant in terms of what you can and cannot do does not have to do with what we call today minhag. The type of minhagim we talk about, should you serve lakshin kugel at a kiddush or an ufruf or not, it might be that everybody has been doing it for 100 years, for 200 years. That's not the halachic, the real halachic status of minhag. Minhag is when halachas are decided. It used to be that Bez Nagodl Sanhedrin would decide halacha. It was binding on everybody. If anyone paskined not like that, it would be a terrible punishment. He'd be chayv misa. That was the halacha of the of old. Once the Sanhedrin was abolished, no longer is there any one body that can paskin, but every community has its bezdin, or in it's a different format, it's Marad Asra, who paskins the halacha for community. Once the halacha is paskin for community, it does not allow for variations in the community. A person cannot say, well, everybody here paskined that you're allowed to do such and such, and we paskin not like that, or vice versa. That's the status, what we would call minhag, in that sense of the word, lotus godedu. You cannot have differing halachic rulings in one community, acted upon in one community. So the famous one is, the one that creates a bit of a consternation here and there, is having the putting on tefillin or not putting on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, two different psakim, two different halachas. Most people try very hard to keep the minyanim separate. There are heterim, but in general, this is part of the same. This is part of that same set of halachas of lotus godedu. So lotus godedu tells me that communal activities should be one, even though, in the broader sense, both psakim are legitimate, but each community needs to have one psak. Today we don't have the one best in communities. If there are not, we don't usually have those towns that are small. We have one shul and one rav. So each community, as defined as such, in each shul, you should have one minhag. That is lotus godedu, and that is definitely a halachic basis for stating that the Torah would like us to act. In a community, should act in unison in halachic practice. There's also a perek like that, and the perek defines it as such, called makom shenagu. Also deals with a psak. We're talking about yes, doing melacha on Erev Pesach, not doing melacha on Erev Pesach, both no clips, sak halacha, that's binding everyone, but in a mokum shenagu, you cannot differ from the mokum shenagu. You can keep your chumris in private, you can't do it publicly, this is what's relevant to the Yontif Sheni. At any rate, the Torah definitely seems to imply, uncertainty on strict halacha, that communities need to have one set of minhag in halachic sense. It's something which is also expressed in the Rishonim, in the Chinuch, for instance, on a few of the mitzvahs, when he speaks about the significance of achirab lahatos, and the Ran, when they speak about the halacha of following a bezdin, they all make the same point. Many Rishonim in different ways make the same point. And that is, this is an incredibly important halacha, because or else Torah would disintegrate and become a million different Toros. Everybody would have their own Torah, and everybody would do as they see right. And we're not talking about people who are willfully sinning or anything. We're talking about people who want to do what's right, but everybody sees what's right as being very different, and you would basically have an anarchy. You would have 1,000 communities. You would not have a Torah community. The Chinuch says it, the Drash Haran says it, and many others. The Ibn Ezra has a discussion, or better said, a debate with a Karoi. The Karoi practice started when one of the Gaonim's children was bypassed for becoming the Gaon. The Gaon was the head of that community of the Jewry, of Jewry in whether it was Africa or in Iraq. And a Gaon was the head of the yeshiva and the head of the community. And they bypassed him. He got very annoyed. He left the fold and he said, This rabbinic stuff, this monopoly, rabbinic monopoly, is all nonsense. Everybody should study the Torah on its own, and however you look really well into it, and everybody do as best as they can. He beat the Christian Reformation by hundreds of years, many hundreds of years. And the idea was, everybody do as they wish, and therefore the rabbinic power is gone. So the Ibn Ezra, in his days, they were a very strong community. Early Rishonim, they were very powerful communities. Rabbi Nasadiga and Rambam, they all argued with them. And basically his point, Ibn Ezra's point in this vikuach, was you're going to end up with everybody having their own Yiddishkeit. Everybody's keeping Yontiv on a different day. He saw the moon this day, he saw the moon that day, he learned Pshat and Chumash this way, he learned Pshat and Chumash that way. It's a parody. It's not a travesty of a religion. It's not a real religion. Those are all very, very strong points in halacha that seem to imply uniformity in a kehillah. On the other hand, there are a few makoros that greatly emphasize the unique individual character of Avodas Hashem. Let's take a Gemara. Gemara Brachas says that if a person comes across 600,000 Jews, there's a special bracha you make. It's called Chacham Harazim, which means the all-knowing, who knows all secrets, and it's based on the fact that ein parts of feim domos, ve ein dos same domos, or the same shonos. Each and every person is different and unique, and only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master of all, who understands all and understands each mindset as it is. That's a very, very strong emphasis on the individual character of each one. Each person's mind is unique, just as each person's face is unique. The Yerushalmi actually says, "Kishem," just as their parts of fame are shonos, so too their same are not domos. That tells me that the unique character of each person's understanding and so on is it goes to the core of what it means to be a Nivra of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal also say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unique because every king who mints coins, each coin looks exactly like the other one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mints human beings from the same set of die, and yet they all look exactly, they look very, very different. It's you know, and I guess translating modern terminology, the DNA is the same, and yet every person looks different and has a very, very different flavor to himself. So how do we understand? So that certainly is delineating the individual character of each person, and it's chshivas. You find the shvatim. Each shevet was defined in the brachas that Yaakov Avinu gave and in the brachas that Moshe Rabbeinu gave as being very, very unique. The brachas ranged from the person who would sit and study with nothing else to the ones who would go out and do business. And that, and it, like it says, he blessed each one, meaning each person has a unique bracha that's his. Everyone is unique and different, and so those are the 12 shvatim. There's no reason not to assume it doesn't go down the line to each and every one. It's like a tree with branches. Once you celebrate the diversity in the various branches, there's no reason not to celebrate the diversity amongst the people. And it clearly seemed there'd be very different avodas Hashem and so on. Finally, another place, just picking out something, the Mishnah in Tainis does speak about various occasions when we need to have public fasts and the days of tshuva and so on. That is the core of Masechtas Tainis, and it deals with drought as the first and major case where it calls for the community to come together in Yom Tefillah and tshuva and so on. Yet there is yechidim that are misanin. There are yechidim that is individuals, people who are very chashev, special, tamir chachamim, who start the course of fasting way before the community. So in some sense, they're doing their own thing. Community is not organized the fast yet. It's not reached that stage. Yet they already have a different Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam says, Talmid Chachamim should act differently than other people. Just like they are different in terms of their knowledge and wisdom and understanding, so too should their activities be different. So all of these seem to give a very strong nod to individuality and people doing their quote-unquote own thing and not being a cookie cutter, as you know, the slogan is. On the other hand, let me just recontrast it again. There's halachically in a few places, Mishmur mentions it, and others, Eino Ella Mina Matmihin Matmiha Altia Mina Matmihin Veloya Mina Matmihin. People who do religious activities that are extreme, strange, they cause people to look at them and say, wow, that's weird, that's strange, and we do not approve of it. So obviously, if people think it's strange to put on tefillin, tough luck, you have to put on tefillin. But chumras and hidurim are various sorts that people assume to be different, and we need to avoid. It's not the proper course of action is to avoid that. So how do you understand that vis-a-vis yichidim is anim, and so on? So basically, we have found Gemara's, Chazal's, Halacha that seem to be giving a nod to each and every one of them. And we need to find some resolution in understanding when and under what circumstances is it appropriate to be part of the Tzibur, part of the Klal, and what is it and when is it that one needs to express individuality. So I'm going to try to bring some sort of, I guess, hachra, some sort of, what would be the right word for it, some sort of putting each thing in its place and understanding what it is exactly. When do we have each and every facet of Yiddishkeit expressed in its way? When do we have the individuality, and when do we have the communal sense of it? Intuitively, we relate to both of them. Intuitively, we think that if you walk into a what's the right word for it? Some sort of communal gathering, a shul, and you see everybody doing quote unquote their own thing, everyone dressed differently, everyone talking differently, everyone being very, very different. We would say it's a circus. We would not think it's a very, very nice thing. We wouldn't see it as a community. We would see it just as sort of a charitably. We would look at it as some sort of airport where everybody's there for his own reason, doing his own thing. If uncharitably, we would say it's a madhouse, it's a circus, it's a three-ring circus, a ten-ring circus. Everyone is running around doing their own thing. So how exactly do we put these things together? So I would like to start with a chazal, a medrash, and then understand that to be the first of our two guiding principles. One is at the end of Parshas Naso, we have a long, long list of all the karbanis that the Nesi'im brought when they dedicated the Mishkan. So you have a long, long, long list of the same exact karbanis. Every single one is exactly the same. Nothing stands out. They have 12 Nesi'im bringing karbanis. Each and every one is exactly the same. And if there's any place where it'd be called for to have some sort of I don't know how to a diddle mark in Hebrew, why don't you just say on the first day so and so brought and detail the carbon, and then say everybody else brought also the carbon, and that's it. Why don't we have to? I mean, why do they list every single one exact same detail? So Chazal, I don't know if this is the question they ask, but they're certainly answering it. It says, why was it brought this way? And not sure quite what the Medrash in the Medrash Rabbah here, it says, why was it brought this way? I'm not sure exactly what the question is, but the answer's in there. And it says, Melamed, that each one would bring the carbon lefi daitoi shel kol echad. Everybody brought in his own day, and everybody brought it kefi daitoi shel kol echad, meaning he had a different kavana in bringing it. The Medrash over here goes on and speaks about the kavana that each one had, and Each one of those Nesi'im gets an entire page, at least, of the same items that the other ones brought. They brought it, and they had a different kavana in it. And his kavana was this, and this was connected this, this was connected that, and this was the other thing. And each and every one of it was very, very different. And so Nachshman Minodov had the Mesiras Nefesh, and on. I want to focus on that word, Fidaito Shekol Echad, and I want to elaborate on that a minute. Let's go back to the Chazal of the parts of Feim Doimis and the Yaseim Ashenis. When you look at a human body, all human bodies are pretty much the same. If I see a hand of a person that I know, if I see a hand of a person I don't know and it's very similar, I would have a hard time telling the difference. Halachically, one cannot be mater naguna based on anything other than either there's an an extraordinary simin, meaning something which is unique, a type of scar that is so unique that it can't be two of them had the same, or the face. And the face has to be with the nose. I have to be able to recognize the face. The reason is because all human bodies are quite similar. The face is where you have the real difference between people. So recognition can only be face to face, whereas everything else is much more similar. The reason is because a person consists of two elements. We consist of a body. Kadosh Baruch Hu took off him an Adama and he created a physical body. That physical body is similar to any type of biological being. And really, Earth doesn't have many differences. It's a difference in quantity, more, less, longer, shorter, that's it. There is nothing else in the body that is distinct. The neshama, each and every person was infused in a neshama. It's a chelik al kaimimal. It is part of the great divine. Each one is a different part. And a different part is a different world, and not even closely similar. So every person physically has a body that's the same and a neshama that's different. A body is expressed itself in all the physical features except for the face. The neshama expresses itself most strongly in the face. You have a hard time telling whether something's alive when you see an aver, a hand or a foot. A face, much, much more. Because that's where a person's chiyus and pnimius is expressed the most. Going to the world of mitzvahs. Every mitzvah is a physical act with a mental and emotional infusion by the person. We do maisim, and we have some kavana, some feeling, some sense expressed through it, or just as we're doing it, what we're doing. The distinctions Akadosh Baruch Hu gave us to fulfill all mitzvahs in that same way. One, to do it in a physical act as similar as possible. A community has a point of unity, and that's in action. Everybody davens Krishma. Everybody says Krishma Bezmanai. Everybody says Birsa Krishma. Everybody says this, everybody says that, and everybody says the other. Each person's Krishma should be different, because if I'm thinking about the Krishma, and I'm feeling the Krishna, and you're thinking about the Krishna feeling, it's not going to be the same. And it'll express itself in nuance. It expresses itself in the expression, how we say it, what we emphasize, what feelings it arouses in us, and all of the pnimius. Over there, if we latch onto road, if we scream at the same place everybody else is screaming, we're missing something. If we shed a tear where everybody else is shedding a tear, we're missing something. We need to be unique. Our das needs to find itself unique in each and every aspect of Avodas Hashem. So if we go back again, we quickly go over these the none we spoke about, we'll see that that's exactly what we're talking about. All of the when it comes to the Maisa Mitzvah, to the Halachic Maisa Mitzvah, then it is appropriate that it be uniform. The sense of Kehila is because our Maisa Mitzvahs are uniform. When it comes to understanding, so especially in Talmud Torah, and especially in the thoughts and feelings we have as doing mitzvahs, there's not only is there's room to be different, that's where you're required to be different. Rav Hutna Zechayna Vracha used to be annoyed with people who learn chavrusa, who learn with chavrusa all the time, There certainly is tremendous advantage in learning what a chavrusa is some of the time. When a person learns all of the time, he felt that wasn't good, and he described it in a very picturesque way. He said, it is very, very pleasant to eat a meal together with someone else, but digestion is a very individual process. In other words, to go through a sugya, the mechanics of the sugya, and to go back and forth, it's helpful when I have a sparring partner. But when I need to think about it, when I need to mull it over, to chew it over, to digest, it's got to be individual. And therefore, when it comes to the das and understanding, so Talmud Torah is certainly the place where we express it more than any place else. And in the part in the world of mitzvahs that a person is participating, the part of the mitzvah that includes the das shaboy is where a person expresses his individuality. Would this apply strictly to dress and so on and so forth? Not, but definitely, especially since many of the outside things are born by a certain sense of what's called the appropriate what's called the appropriate attire for davening, what's called the appropriate level of hikun and so on, then that's the area where it's appropriate to fall into tzibur. You know, I can't have to stop short of saying halacha, but if we're asking ourselves, do I need to find my individuality in the not wearing the hat, and I'm also wearing the hat? The answer is no. Find your individuality in your understanding. Find your individuality in your feelings, and so on. That's one area that is that we sort of understand the sense of the difference in the two. There is another area, and I will try to describe it, which actually deals with Maisa. Just like Shvatim, we found unique properties for each one. But the unique properties were in addition to, not in substitution of. Let's give a mashal. In an army, you have many, many distinct jobs, ranging from somebody, a sharpshooter, to an airplane pilot, to somebody sitting doing computers in the back somewhere, and to the cook, to who knows what. There are many, many, many different jobs. But there's a common denominator. Everybody salutes an officer. Everybody follows orders, regulations. There is something that's common to everybody that makes you part of the armed forces, that commonality. And yet, everyone finds his own unique talent, which is in addition to that. When a community has a certain sense of this is our this is what we do, that's a baseline. That's the commonness. So yes, everybody wears a hat and jacket. Units wear a hat and jacket. Nobody wears a jacket. Nobody wears a hat and jacket. Everybody does this, does that. Now the question is, who am I as an individual? If you'll take a look at this halacha of matmihim, I think it's something that we can resolve as follows. Reb Leib Shteyman, who's Zechon Evrach, who just passed away a few months ago, was somebody whose actions might have been considered extreme by all measures. Nobody thought he was strange. Nobody thought he was matmiha, because he was a yachid. He was recognized as being a yachid, and what he did fit him. But if you take somebody, your average Joe, and he would start doing things, he would start sitting on a chair without a back, and so without a back, and he would start doing X, Y, Z, he would be matmiha because of the dissonance between who he is and what he does. This, so Lamashal, if this is a chassidish kehil and everybody wears a gartel, then whatever madriga I'm holding on, wearing a gartel is the norm. It's this is who I am. A part is kehil. The kehil as a kehil wears a gartel. I wear a gartel. If I'm part of a litvish kehil, does not wear a gartel, So if I am a yachid, if this is who I am, then the gartel fits. And it's not a dissonance, because in this prat, I'm a yachid. I'm the person with extraordinary devotion to Avodas Hashem. That's who I am. And people don't look at it as being strange. But when there's a dissonance between who I am, so if I do what the Kehillah does, what the Tzibah does, even if I'm not holding the Asuch Siddush, a person who's not holding on the Madrega wearing a Gartel, makes no difference. This is Kehillah, this is his norm, this is him as part of the Kehillah. It's the right thing to do, and it's wrong for him to take away from it. And therefore, to be Mema'et, to take away from what the Tzibah does, is wrong. But the question is, where am I unique? Yes, that's a very good question to ask yourself. I'm the type of person who's very competent in helping people and knows how to get things done. So instead of being available once a month to help people like everybody else in the community, I need to be available once a week. Everybody else learns an hour a day, and that fits the community. But I'm very smart. I have a tremendous attention span. I can sit 2 hours a day. I can sit 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day. So I need to do that. We tend to not want to do whatever else does to make life easier for us. Really, it should be something that makes life tougher for us. Because, okay, this is what the army does. Nobody says, well, since I'm running computers, I don't need to listen to commanding officer, and I don't need to do this and that. That's part of being in the army. Now the question is, as a computer person, what are your unique responsibilities? There's a Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara says a whole list of Sholer Bishur ben Karcha b'Marach the Yomim. He gave an answer. They asked Reb Zera b'Marach the Yomim. They asked others b'Marach the Yomim, and they had got different answers. And the question is, Rabbi Kivas Reb Nechunya Godel b'Marach the Yomim. A whole long sugi b'Marach the Yomim. So let's ask ourselves the following. From a scientific point of view, if I were to interview 10, 15 people and ask each and every one of them, you know, you've lived, you're over 100, tell me, what do you eat the most? One guy says pomegranates, one guy says chocolate, one person says cholent, and I don't know, one person says matzah. That's a worthless study. Then I'm back to square one. I have no idea. I mean, everyone's doing something else different. When we look for schoolers, so we try to find a schooler that helped everybody. If I ask a half a dozen people who got cured from some illness for a school, and each one gives me a very different schooler, I basically begin to think maybe the schoolers had nothing to do with it. So what is this? We're trying to find out what's the set of Rechaz Yamim. We ask a dozen people and get a dozen different answers. So what do we gain from the sugya? We have no, it gave us no clarity. And not telling us anything. What is it telling us? The sugya is telling us this point. Harach the yamim means your life has been expressed to its full. The seder of arichas yamim is that nobody is important enough to keep around this world except as it relates to his particular unique avoda. And every person that was ma'arich yamim, we're asking, b'mah harach to yamim, what did you have? What was your life prolonged with? What was your life about? And each one gave a lefnim mishur hadin. It wasn't the same lefnim mishur hadin, because it can't be. It says in Amaretz Chassid, it can't be. Each person's own das formulates also where is unique in the world of avoda. And each person needs to be able to find where am I unique. So yes, a person has to ask himself the question, do I have a talent that's unique, and what does it obligate me to do more than anybody else? Not less than anybody else, but more than anybody else. So I guess we'll try to just to recap the entire point. We pointed out that intuitively we rebel at the idea of people just doing their own odd things and everybody doing their own thing, and you know, it's a madhouse. We don't see anything in that is really good. On the other hand, everybody being quote unquote a cookie cutter, not a good. We don't seem to find that either worthwhile. In Chazal, we've seen, especially in the halachas of Leitis Godedu, Minig HaMakom, and the Chinuch about Tacharam Lahatos and so on, we found great value of a homogeneous community. On the other hand, we find very strong emphasis on, just like Pratzefem and Atomos, the same Ashonos. And we try to explain it in the following way. Two ways. First of all, that when it, yes, we consist of two parts, part of which is part of a community, and so one section of ourselves, one element of ourselves, is an integrated part of a community, and the other part is unique and individual. It expressed itself, first of all, that in the world of Maisa, we follow the community, and the community acts in unison. And yet, in the world of understanding, so certainly Talmud Torah like that, but even mitzvahs, our understanding of it, our how we relate to it, what we feel when we do a mitzvah, should be unique. Two, we also said a person needs to search, where am I obligated more than a community? Where do my obligations become greater in a community? And that is where we find ourselves. So the in two areas we find ourselves, in the realm of Das and Kavana, and in the realm of Merach Dayamim. An ideal Klal Yisrael is where everybody brings the exact same carbon. There is no place in the world that there's no place in Allah that has more exact standards and regulations than Karbanis, and yet each one finds his own understanding and meaning and connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu in the same actions. And every single person, when you follow your own, when you look for your specific mission in life and you follow it, that's the secret of Merach Dayamim. Your days become long because they're yours, uniquely yours, and by giving more of who you are, you become more of who you are, you develop more who you are, and your Merach Yomim with the Midah that you have uniquely so.